Tim's got to flip the switch.
Please go ahead. The call is now being recorded.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's JAS call on Thursday, the 19th of August, we have Evan Leibovich, Alex Gakuru, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Rafik Damak, Tijani Benjema, Carlos Aguirre, Alan Greenberg, Andrew Mack, Evan Leibovich, Sebastian Bachelet. From staff, we have Carla Valente and myself, Gisela Gruber White. We have apologies from Avery Doria, Boudouin Chombé, Tony Harris, and Olaf Nordling. And if I could please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, this is for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Evan and Carla.
Okay. In keeping with what I had mentioned at the last meeting, I would like to ask at this point if anyone on this call has registered or has indicated and changed or an update in their statement of interest. If nobody says anything, I will assume that everybody's statement is current and has not changed since the last call. Does anyone have an update?
Nope. Okay. Continuous disclosure. Thank you.
Okay. So hopefully that was an easier way to do it than the way it was done last time, and I hope the way we'll go forward with it. What I'd like to do is to try and pick up on the document where we left it off last time. The only problem is I am at a slight loss right now while I am waiting for my machine to chug along and bring up Adobe Connect. Gisela, could you possibly do you have the document right now up on Adobe?
Cheryl here. Yes, it is. If someone can just remind the group where we were up to, we can all scroll to that page.
I seem to recall us being on page 8 when we left last time.
Ah, okay. Because I'd gone through to page 11, sorry. Okay, page 8 it is.
Sorry, Evan, I was trying to get off mute.
Yeah, Gisela, the document was uploaded last time. It should be there on the list.
Okay, we'll go through it. I've got the document on the screen.
Was it page 11 or page 8 where we left last time? I'm at the disadvantage of not seeing it in front of me.
It appears that page 8 is correct, just looking at it, unless I'm mistaken.
Okay. Could I ask somebody else at least to read off again what's in the document and start any discussion? I should be up and going with my stuff within 5.
Even I have my hand up.
He can't see you. Go ahead, Tijani.
Tijani, I wouldn't know otherwise.
Okay. Okay, I have a preliminary comment before we start, please. Two calls one day apart is too tight. I couldn't read and work and prepare something for the call of today. So can we please modify the second call and put it at least 2 days after the first one?
Look, I'll be the first to agree with you that twice a week right now is extremely high pressure on this, especially along with other things that are going on. Without Avery here and with a fairly light attendance on this call, I'm hesitant to make a judgment on this right now. So, Jenny, could we please take this to email, get a broader consensus, and I agree with you that we need to space this a bit better. But
okay.
I don't think we're in a position to do that on this call.
Okay.
Evan, this is Andrew. For what it's worth, for those of us who are trying to put together some deliverables, I couldn't agree more with Tijani. I think it's just not enough time to digest what we've got and also to come forward with something.
Could we be better? Could we do this with one call a week? I'm just personally finding twice a week to be...
No. No.
Okay.
No, I don't agree. And perhaps we have to get the inputs from the ICANN staff to know in which day there is not a call or there is not a conflict for the calls.
I'll tell you what. Gisela, could you possibly arrange a doodle based on the times giving another day of breathing room. So to Jenny, you're suggesting perhaps Tuesday morning, and Tuesday morning, well, for me, Tuesday right now, like this time of day on the Tuesday and the Friday?
For example, yes.
Yeah. Seconded. Good suggestion, Johnny.
Yes.
Gisela, could you just possibly confirm that there are no conflicts and perhaps send out a doodle?
Absolutely. I'll send out a doodle for this time on Fridays then.
24 hours from now.
Yeah, and with regards to the Tuesday call, are you keeping it once every couple of weeks? We've got Rafik, who would have a conflict if we change the time of our Tuesday call.
Remembering, if you've got a 90-minute call, Cheryl here, if you've got a 90-minute call once a month, you have a problem with the ALAC meeting starting just an hour after your traditional Tuesday start.
Yeah, I think the Tuesday meeting is worth keeping because we had that even before we went to twice a week.
I strongly suggest we keep the Tuesday at 1300 UTC, and we can try for the Friday at this time running for an hour and a half. There is one other group, but I don't think that there are any conflicts. So I'll send a doodle out for 1200 UTC on Fridays for Jazz for 90 minutes.
Good.
Okay. Done.
Gisela?
Yes.
For Friday, please don't forget that you have the CHO.
Yes.
So maybe 1 hour and a half, and then it will overlap with CHE work team.
I know you're on the 1300 on the Friday call as well. It's just if we start this call at 1130 UTC, that's 4:30 in the morning in Los Angeles. I'll send out a doodle.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so well, thanks for. Well, in small part, the discussion of the meeting has actually taken enough time.
Evan, you're fading away.
Sorry?
You're fading away your voice.
Yes, because my Adobe Connect computer is on the other side of the room from my.
So we either need to get him a headset or a better computer that he can move to his phone.
The good news,
portable computers.
My screen now.
I sound like you're calling from the space shuttle, Chief.
Another alternative is a smaller room.
I think the Soyuz had better computers than I do right now. Okay. I said that. I've joined the microphone.
Keep close to the microphone. We don't hear you.
Okay. So either I can read the documents or I can talk to you, but not both at the same time.
Well, someone send this man a headset by FedExpress.
or a longer Ethernet or telephone cable.
Mm-hmm. They have these portable computers nowadays, you know.
Even I can help reading the document. What part are you on?
Okay, I am on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Keep yelling at us. We'll be fine.
Okay, I have moved. I am actually now on to page 8. And so under the section proposals, the following suggestions have been formulated in regard to fee consideration. Do I need to read that paragraph out, or is everybody okay with it being able to read it for themselves and opening discussion on this now?
We have, Evan, we have worked on this paragraph yesterday, on Tuesday.
Okay.
It's already done.
All right, how far did we get? I thought this is where we left off. Sorry.
No, we did paragraph 1 till paragraph 4. Number 1 till number 4.
So you're actually on page 9, not 8.
Okay, so we are on item 5 on page 9. Is that correct, Jenny?
Four is not finished.
Okay.
Yes.
Just a point of order. For the future version of documents, can we have numbers on the sections so those with different pagination can have a chance of finding something?
Good.
Alan, you're right. This is item four, but it's item four under some sections, so we should have the sections number two. Is that what you're
saying? Okay. I'm looking at Tijani's document, which has a lot of changes in it, and I haven't yet found where proposals is. But I'll keep working on it while you're talking.
Good.
All right. So, can we reopen discussion then on point number four on the top of page nine about lowering registry fees due to ICANN? Does anyone have any comments on this?
Yes, my comment, Tijani.
Yes?
My comment was that we have to remove the 25 cents and replace it by at its minimum value used so far. Because I gave the example of .org and .name that didn't pay, they don't pay the fixed fees and pay only 20 cents for the transactions. So why we use 25?
So instead of changing, all right, so take out registry level transaction fee of $25 per initial or renewal domain registration and just change that to the minimum existing.
Yes. My proposal is the following, Ivan. Instead only charge a registry level transaction fees per initial and or renewal domain name registration at its minimum value used so far.
I would say comparable to instead of at.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, comparable to works, yeah.
Yes. My English is very poor. I recognize
that. Sure.
Tijani, your English is very excellent.
Thank you.
Tijani's English is better than my Australian is, so that's good.
and perhaps better than your English is, Cheryl.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even try about my English, I can tell you. That's just sad.
And at this time of day, Tijani's English is better than me in any language.
Yeah, since we still can't quite hear you, you're still breaking up a little bit.
This is
Carla. Could you please repeat the change that you want to reflect on the document?
You want me to repeat?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Instead, only charge the registry level transaction fee per initial or renewal domain name registration at its minimum or comparable to the minimum value used so far.
Used for other GTLDs.
Yes, used for the other GTLDs. Good.
Can someone read that?
I was just going to ask. Carla, once you have that down, can you read it back as you last believe us to have said?
So what I have is lower registry fixed fees due to ICANN in lieu of the registry level fixed fee of $2,500 per calendar year. Instead, we charge the registry level transaction fee for initial or renewal domain registration as it's comparable, and then I lost it.
Okay, to the minimum comparable fee elsewhere.
No,
yeah.
To a fee comparable with the minimum such fee charged for other GTLDs.
At that point, can I ask, is there any real value in leaving the sentence in many TLDs pay much less to ICANN, if anything? I would propose we delete that sentence and then move on only to if a minimum is absolutely required, then consider lowering this fee by 50% for qualified applicants.
Yes.
I'm quite happy with that.
Can you repeat, Cheryl, please?
Yes, could you say it again? I'm sorry, not quite sure. Sorry, follow it.
To delete the sentence, many TLDs pay much less to ICANN, if anything, in brackets.
Right, okay.
That's it.
That's it. And
but,
then it's the rest
of the but Tijani added the next sentence. If a minimum is absolutely required, then consider lowering this fee to 50% for qualified applicants.
I propose to delete that.
That's the copy that I'm looking at, and I'm assuming that was being left.
Yes.
Right. If I'm understanding it correctly, the sentence that we just agreed on or we just discussed should replace those two, right?
No, the sentence we just agreed on is a new variation on the sentence prior to an annual fee of $25,000 to ICANN is a barrier to sustainability for an applicant representing small community.
Got it. Okay, so that's but doesn't it obviate the need for those last two sentences?
I think it obviates the need for the sentence many TLDs pay much less.
Okay.
But I'm not satisfied to remove the option of a 50% for qualified applicants reduction.
Yes.
Andrew, the issue is not just the fee per domain, but the minimum they have also set of 25,000.
Okay, got it. I'm sorry. I understand you now. Thank you.
Okay. So, Carla, just to be on the safe side, could you read back the entire point 4 as we now have it modified?
Okay. Lower the registry fixed fees due to ICANN. In lieu of the registry level fixed fees of $25,000 per calendar year, instead only charge the registry level transaction fee per initial or renewal domain name registration to a fee comparable to a minimum used in for other GTODs.
Okay.
And any fee of $25,000 to ICANN is a barrier to sustainability for an applicant representing a small community. If a minimum is absolutely required, then consider lowering this fee by 50% for qualified applicants.
I thought we deleted that, no?
That last sentence, if a minimum is absolutely required, is that staying in or going out?
I thought we deleted this last sentence.
I wasn't clear about that. I thought we deleted the many TODs and then the sentence before that.
Carla, I suggested deleting the many TODs sentence, but leaving in the 50% reduction one.
Yeah. Tijani had suggested, however, that sentence be modified to say, instead of consider lowering, that lower.
So change that last sentence. If a minimum is absolutely required, lower this fee by 50% for qualified applicants.
I believe that was what Shajani's suggestion was.
Is everyone okay with that?
No, I'm comfortable with that. I'd prefer it in than out.
No, but the stronger wording that says lower the fee rather than consider lowering the fee.
Yes, I'm always happy for stronger wording. Less words and stronger words are always good from my point of view.
My point of view...
The change was made too.
Can I speak, please?
Then lower by 50% for qualified applicants.
Okay, to Jenny, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. My point of view is we have to give recommendations, and if the recommendations are not possible, they will not be accepted. So we don't have to give them half of the solution. We don't have to tell them if a minimum is absolutely required. We said that it is a barrier. So that's all. We stop here. We don't have to give them the half of the solution if you want.
Tijani, there's no expectation that they will think of that themselves. They may say that we're not going to lower it to zero, therefore let's go on to the next recommendation.
But in this case, we are not, we consider it as a barrier, and yet we say, okay, we will make them pay 50% of it.
Presumably, 12,005 is not as large a barrier as 25,000. It's not the best, it's not what we want, but it's better than keeping it at 25.
But, Alan, I have to notice that .org, .name, and others don't pay the fixed fee. Why the needy applicant have to pay?
Because it's, it's too late to change them. Well, .org, it's not an issue of minimum, so that's
The prevailing wisdom may be that those were mistakes that they are not going to repeat.
Alan, even I don't understand what you say.
What I said is for .org, it's not relevant because their volume is high enough that minimums are not the issue. And for the other ones, I believe those are, as Evan said, to be blunt, mistakes that ICANN is not going to repeat.
But we have to make use of these mistakes. You don't believe so? We are trying to help needy applicants. So we it's a good point for us to show them that we are not asking for something which is not used. It's used already.
Well, you're right in the saying that the precedent exists, but we may be walking in, and I think we probably are walking into a situation where they may believe that precedent to have been something they don't want to repeat. And so, to Jenny, the question is, if we ignore it totally, we give them the excuse just to gloss over the entire issue and keep the status quo, or do we say then, if you really must do something, then meet us halfway, literally.
Yeah. The status quo we're looking at is not what they charge other GTLDs, but what's in the DAG. So I think we have to be a little bit pragmatic about that.
In this case, I prefer to put 30%, not 50%. Yes. Try to be really the more helpful for those applicants.
Actually, I don't have a problem with changing the percentage to 30%, and then they can play with the percentages if need be. You know, say 25 or 30%.
Make it 40%, which is around 10,000.
All right. Okay, we're making some headway here. So we're okay for a ballpark percentage for us to say.
Don't use the percentage. If a minimum is absolutely required, then lower the fee to $10,000. The minimum fee to $10,000 for qualified applicants. It's a round number.
To Jenny?
Easier for budgeting too.
To Jenny?
Yes.
You okay with that?
See what happens. At least then there's a reaction, something for them to react to.
No, I understand your point totally, to Jenny. If they're doing it elsewhere, why can't they repeat it here? But the fact that the DAG exists in its current form clearly indicates that they don't want to do things the way they were done before. This is the reality that we're dealing with. The rules are changing for the creations of new TLDs compared to what they used to be. So we have to confront them based on those terms rather than historical ones.
I think we either need to accept something or take a poll on or go to the mailing list. Otherwise, we're going to spend the whole hour on this, or an hour and a half on this section.
Hey, personally, I would have said 25 and use it as a starting point and let them come back with something, you know, bigger, but 10,000 is a flat number or a lower percent. What's the preference around the call?
I will agree with the minimum that that is possible to put.
$6.
Yes.
I feel like we're on the Price is Right. We need to put something to Jenny. Assuming we need to put something, what are you comfortable with?
Okay, can you put 30%?
30 is fine.
Fine.
Alan, Cheryl.
Fine.
Everybody.
I was happy with 30, yeah.
Andrew, Carlos, Alex.
Time to move on. It's okay for me.
Hi, it's Alex. We can take 30.
No one's saying no. Let's go on.
All right. Okay, Carlos. Yes?
This is how the sentence reads now. If a minimum is absolutely required, then lower this by 30% for qualified
candidates. To 30%.
Yeah, not by 30,
not
30.
To 30%.
Okay, could you do me a favor? Read back number 4 exactly as you have it, and then we'll move on.
Okay. Lower the registry, fixed fee due to ICANN. In lieu of the registry level, fixed fee of $25,000 per calendar year. Instead, only charge the registry level transaction fee of the transaction fee per annual or renewal domain name registration to a fee comparable to a minimum used for other GTODs. An annual fee of $25,000 to ICANN is a barrier to sustainability for an applicant representing a small community. If a minimum is absolutely required, then lower this fee to 30% for qualified applicants.
Thank you.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay. Number five.
Yes.
Okay, reconsider the risk contingency cost per applicant, $60,000. The working questions, if ICANN really expects a total of $30 million, 60 times 5,500 applications, in unknown cost to surface. This fee could be reduced, excused for the applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group.
I propose to remove reduced and to put only excused. We said good. Good.
Yeah, right now they say this fee could be reduced / excused. To Jenny's proposing eliminating the word reduced and just have the fee could be excused for applicants that meet the criteria. Comments?
I make the same comment I made before. I think if you simply ask for that, it will be outright rejected.
I think if you say reduced, you leave open, this is Andrew, you leave open the possibility that it could be excused, but if you ask for it to be excused directly, you may get pushback. I think I agree with Alan.
Yep.
So in other words, as a matter of philosophy here, just going for all or nothing gives us a chance of getting nothing. If we say all, some, or nothing, we're more likely to get some.
That's my reading of it. I think I'm hearing the same from everyone. It's not a question of whether or not we think it should be reduced, but what's the best way to get the maximum reduction?
Or we could use the same tactic as the previous one and say it should be eliminated and then an if.
Do we have a consensus?
What Alan said?
Alan?
Alan,
sorry.
What was your last proposition, please?
Sorry, I'm having people cut out. Evan, you asked, is there a consensus with what I said or with what is there?
With what you said.
What I said is the statement saying the fee this fee should be eliminated for applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group.
So your change is changing could to should, but otherwise leaving it intact.
No, I eliminated the word reduced from that side, from that sentence, and then I'm adding a new sentence. If elimination is not possible, it should be significantly reduced. Or something like that.
Drastically reduced.
Okay, so we're saying the fee should be excused, but if you're not going to excuse it, reduce it significantly.
Drastically.
Okay. To Jenny, are you okay with that?
Okay.
Can I read back what I have?
Please.
Okay. This fee should be eliminated for applicants that meet criteria established by the working group. If elimination is not possible, then it should be drastically reduced.
Yep. Very good.
All righty. So we're okay to move on to number six.
Yes.
All right. So... the fixed variable cost of $100,000 is based on total cost of the previous round of applications, which the cost considerations document quantifies as $1.8 million for all 10 applications. The most probably includes the cost associated with the conflict that arose from rejection of XXX, which remains unresolved. Do we need to get into that wording in this clause? fee of $180,000 may have been significantly skewed by the king by the long-term work required for XXX. Actual evolution and administrative costs for the other nine applications may have been considerably less than $180,000 per piece. If this is the case, the $100,000 fixed cost fee could be reduced for the applicants that meet the criteria. My first reaction to that is I don't think we need to go into the history of .xxx quite as much as we do here.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you change the language to say these cost considerations of the 10 applicants undoubtedly include some exceptional circumstances, based on this, we believe that the cost fee should be reduced for the applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group and cut out most of the middle bit.
I agree with what Cheryl said. If that whole thing is there, my original position stands that I believe, if you remember, the $180,000 for past applications was simply used as a sanity check to say that the calculation done through other means was not totally unreasonable. And it's a completely different process than the previous ones, and I think the old history is not relevant. Plus, we're not really even sure whether the implication is correct. So my personal feeling is to remove this whole section. I didn't win that battle, but I would definitely remove the .xxx references.
Yeah.
Can we say just more vaguely that the cost recovery is believed to be based on previous exceptional circumstances that need not be repeated?
Oh, well, you can't say the last part because it could very well be repeated.
Well,
but the fee undoubtedly includes exceptional costs.
We don't know that, and it's not relevant. That was only used as a sanity check, not as the way to calculate the fee.
So, well, I mean, we can't exactly state in here that we believe they just pulled $180,000 out of thin air.
No. The $185,000 was done through laborious calculation.
Right.
It was then compared to the $180,000 as a sanity check. We don't know exactly what that $180,000 included, whether it included legal fees for .xxx or included, coloring their toenails.
Well, depending on who I talked to, it seemed like the number was essentially was made deliberately high to keep out players that couldn't afford it, which is exactly what we're trying to address here.
Okay, I haven't heard that statement, so I can't speak to it.
In which case, could we cut it to a very short sentence that says, the fixed variable costs of $100,000 should be reduced for applicants that meet the criteria established by the work group. End of sentence.
Yes, you don't give rationals for that.
Yeah. And don't put three X's in a row if you want the board to see straight.
I would go as far as to change should to must, but otherwise I'm fine with what you got.
I don't know if we need must, but I think that makes sense. The reference to XXX seems to be...
It's a distraction here.
It's a distraction.
Oh, it's a distraction, yeah.
And it might cause people to focus on that, and
Okay, so Carla, do you have Cheryl's wording?
I have one sentence only, which is the fixed variable cost of $100,000 should be reduced to meet the criteria established by the working group. Is that
should
correct?
Should be reduced for applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group.
So I have the fixed variable cost of $100,000 should be reduced for applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group.
Yep. And then the next paragraph reads fine to me following on from that.
The next paragraph being WT1?
Well, hold on. Yep. Let's tackle one at a time, okay? So we have totally reworded 6 and significantly simplified it.
Yep.
Everyone okay with that?
But the next paragraph I thought was still under Section 6.
Yeah, WT1 is working with WT2 on identifying sources of funding. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, Blaine. Hi there. Welcome. And you've got your hand up.
Hi. Thanks. Sorry I'm late. I I'm on Central Time, and yesterday I was on Eastern. So I do have a question about number six, and I wrote the majority of this this part of the paper, and the idea was that we would, in keeping with the principles of cost recovery, explain how or why our applicants could be excused from contributing towards cost recovery, or why the funds might not, that number might not be relevant for their application. So I'm totally happy with getting rid of the .XXX references. This came from a comment somebody else submitted. But I'm a little not okay with just saying we should just lower the fee for our applicants without any sort of reason or justification, or how is this money going to be made up somewhere else.
Where did that second proposal come from? Because nobody, I thought, I heard tonight at least, today, has suggested changing anything in the following script after what was edited out of the XXX explanation, that the work coming, following on from what WT1 and WT2 have done seemed fine to me.
No, I think the point Elaine is making is the original rationale for lowering this fee is a significant part of the $100,000 was a $60,000 item called risk.
Yeah.
And that was interpreted by some as being, these are costs of risky applications, that is, those who will have legal fees and those who will do other things. And therefore, since we deem our cultural, our community applications not to have that kind of risk, that it would not apply. My argument originally was that the term risk was inappropriately used, and that isn't how it was derived. But that nevertheless was, the argument was some of the cost or all of the cost in the risk in part of the equation would not apply, and therefore they our identified applicants should not be charged it.
If you're talking about the need to add a sentence that says for community-supported and community-based applications, any risk is minimal, then absolutely agree it should be added. But I don't see that removing what we have done from the first paragraph in Section 6 has done anything to take away. I mean, I don't see that that was explaining that there was a risk assessment error.
Well, no, but it, if I remember correctly, that risk issue morphed into the .XXX one. Elaine, you may have better memory than I do on it. Is Elaine still with us? Am I still here?
Crazy call today.
She dropped off, but she's coming back in.
Okay.
All right. Do we need to be clear here in just saying that you know, do we need to be clear here in using the word risk? If we're not going to mention XXX, we sort of have to give some rationale why we think this can be reduced.
Well, but Elaine is the one who did the writing, so we need to wait for her to come back to answer that question.
Okay. Can we not address any of that in the meantime?
Can I pose a question real quickly? This is Andrew. I was under the impression that there were two kinds of risk that we were evaluating. One was, if you will, the historical risk, and that's where the XXX thing came in. The idea that there's for abnormally complicated and risky applications. And then there's the second question, which is that the group that we're identifying is actually less risky than the average. So that we wanted to capture the fact that the risk profile generally was skewed, and that specifically our target group is even less risky than that. Does that make sense?
And a sentence is a fine thing, Alec.
I'll reiterate my original comment that if you read the details of the cost analysis, risk included things like we don't know if we're going to get 100 applications, 500, or 6,000. And therefore, it's hard to decide what the right number is for allocating the fixed costs. There are some parts of the process which everyone will go through, but for various reasons we have not been able to cost them out accurately. We've used our the insurance type calculation to generate a risk number because that's what we're putting it at, even though we don't, even though actual hard facts are absent. That's why I didn't think it was appropriate to use the risk. But saying these applications are less risky, it was a calculation that looked at the average cost, not of a particular application. That was the issue.
But basically, Alan, what you're saying then is that they've pulled the number out of thin air based on their calculations.
No, it wasn't out of thin air. It was actuarial calculations and pumping in statistics and Monte Carlo simulations and a lot of things. It was scientifically done, which is equivalent to pulling it out of thin air, perhaps. Only history will tell us which it is.
But that's not the point, I would have thought. The point is we are saying that for a criteria-driven and acceptable criteria set, if applicants who meet that criteria, who do qualify for the additional support, the type of support that can be made available in the rest of the document until we get to Section 4, if that is the case, they are not only likely to be less risky, but should be given a lower fee. Elaine's got a hand back up.
Go ahead, Elaine.
Okay, so they are not more likely to be less risky because they are probably going to be more financially vulnerable, and we're not sure about their actual commercial viability. So I am absolutely not okay with saying they're more likely to be less risky. If you want to say that they should not have to pay the entire application fee, that's fine, but my point is we need to explain where that money is going to come from or why we have an issue with that part of the fee. I don't think we need to say anything about .XXX. That came from Tony Harris initially when we started the working group, and he put forth several ideas. If we can just say the fixed variable cost of $100,000 is based on the total cost of previous round of applications, and those fees might include costs that won't be relevant to this round, so if the board would consider lowering that part of the fee structure for our qualified applicants, that would be good language to me.
Everybody?
Good.
I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Okay. Carla, could you read back what you have?
In number six?
Yes.
Okay. Number six I have, the first paragraph is simply reduced to the fixed variable cost of $100,000 should be reduced for applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group. And it goes to the second paragraph, working team one is working with working team two, and there's no change to that last paragraph.
No, you didn't got the language of Ellen.
Hey, Carla, do you have what Elaine had just said?
No, I don't.
Okay, Elaine, could you read back what you...
Sure. So I just said the fixed variable cost of $100,000 is based on the total cost of the previous round of applications. Those costs might not be relevant to the new GTLD program applicants, and the board could consider lowering those costs to applicants that meet the qualifications for support. Or something like that.
Okay, so I'll read to you what I have, see if it's close to what you said. The fixed variable cost of $100,000 is based on a total cost of a previous round of applications. Is that correct?
Exact.
And might not be relevant to the new GTOD applicants, and this cost should be reduced for applicants that meet the criteria established by the working group.
That sounds close enough.
That's good.
Okay. And then the second paragraph I have the same as it is written now.
Yep.
Okay. Is everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Yes.
To Jenny, you're sounding really fed up.
I said yes.
Okay. All right. So... okay, and we're not changing that last paragraph. WT1 is working with WT2.
No.
Does anyone have any comments on that paragraph? Going once, going twice. Okay, moving on. Bottom of page 9, who should receive support? Key to making a support program work is choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, WT2 considered a number of possible applicants, but agreed the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited and easily identified test of potential applicants, which would be non-controversial to support. Based on these criteria and the review of the comments, the working group recommends the following, blah, blah. What is the word supposed to be after and something the review of the comment? And per the review of comments. Does that sound right?
That looks just like a typo.
Yeah, so I think the word is per. Per the review?
That should be fine.
Further review?
Okay. Yeah, the word instead of AER is PER.
Or we could even say based on these criteria and a review of the comments. Is that clear?
Just say and per review of the comments. Is that okay?
Sure.
Let's move on. We still got a lot of ground to cover.
No.
Okay.
Evan, yes. I propose to remove relatively limited and easily identifiable set of. I propose to remove this phrase, and I explained why.
Go ahead.
So I said that our mission. The mission of this working group is not to find relatively limited and easily identifiable set of applicants. Will it make a new GTLD program inclusive if we say that?
I thought basically that the intention was if we were going to put forward something that could apply to half the applicants, it'd be rejected out of hand.
No, when the resolution 20 asked us to propose recommendations, they didn't tell us that it will be for a reduced number or for a limited number or for something like this. So we don't have to put it ourselves. It is. I don't think it is good.
Okay, Andrew and Elaine. Andrew, you go first.
Okay. Tijani, I think we've had this conversation before. I think everyone agrees with you that the desire is to create a system that is open. Our intent from the very beginning was to come up with some sort of small test group that we could use to get this process going.
That is a partly political decision because we want to get some support from the group because this is a new initiative. And it's partly just a simple logistical thing. If, as Evan says, the criteria make it possible for half of the applicants to make to submit an application for support, then that won't help the process. Is it a little bit imperfect to choose some group over, to favor some groups to some extent? Probably you're correct. But I think that this is a practical, the idea behind it is a practical consideration. You'll note that in part because of what you have said in the past, we made it very, very clear in following language that it's not only limited to these groups, but just that this is the group that we are focusing on. If other groups wish to apply, they still can. Does that make sense?
I find the language as it is now, as it was wrote, I find it absolutely exclusive of any other groups, because you said at this initial phase, that means this round, we will give support to these groups, this or this kind of applicants. The other kinds will be looked at another point, at later phase, that means at later rounds. And as you know, from the beginning, there was a long discussion about this philosophy of rounds. And there was a suggestion that, for example, rounds will be opened at a fixed period, at a fixed frequency, with a limited number of applicants. But it was rejected, and the adopted method is one single round for a limited number of applicants. That means that there is not a foreseen round other than this one. So we don't have to speak about the other rounds, because perhaps they will not happen, or they will happen in 10 years. I don't know. So that's why I say if we make restrictions now, we will make the majority, if you want, a lot of groups, a lot of possible beneficiary of this action, we will reject them from the beginning.
The question to Johnny, in my mind, is we have a saying, don't make the perfect the enemy of the good, and if you have you have another suggestion as to how we can avoid being flooded by applications, then I'm certainly open to it. This was the only reason we did it this way, was to try to give a little bit of shape to this initial effort so that we can get the political support that we think that we will need, and also to make it, because we were expecting that we'll have a limited amount of resource, including a limited amount of resource to go through the process. I am concerned that if we receive, if we were to receive 100 applications for support, that we wouldn't have the resources even to evaluate them. But perhaps other people have better ideas. And I'm open to changing this. I just don't have another proposal on the table that seems to get to where we're trying to go.
You are right, Andrew.
Can we let other people in and not just have this debate between Tijani and Andrew?
Yes, you're right. Excuse me.
Okay. Well, I've got Alan, you're next.
Okay. I have a question and a comment. The sentence which currently says Work Team 2 considered a number of possible applicants. Did Work Team 2 actually look at specific applicants, that is, the Red Cross, the Nairobi Students Association, and someone else? Or did they look at class of applications or type of applications? I didn't think there were any applicants at this point.
You're right.
There are. No applicants at this point, correct.
So how did they look at a number of possible applicants? What does that mean?
You're correct. We were talking in broad sense about classes of applicants.
Okay, fine. All right.
If you want to get this, feel free.
Okay, given that, I the rest of my comment didn't make sense unless I understood that. I think the relatively limited is absolutely essential statement there. If we don't say that, and go on record as saying we are interested in a moderate number, then many of the other arguments that we made of reduce the sunk costs or something like that, that argument falls apart if it ends up being anything other than a small percentage of the total number of applications. So I think that's essential. Easily identifiable, I'm not sure is the right wording. I think what we're trying to say there is we're not going to end up in lawsuits because of who we pick and who we don't. They have to be reasonably objective criteria, and they have to be not gameable or moderately not gameable. I'm not sure easily identifiable captures that, but I think it's essential that we maintain the reasonable number, limited number, and that we capture the readily objective criteria readily identifiable and not gaming in as quick a sentence, as in a quick a phrase as we can. I just don't think easily identifiable is that phrase.
Alan, what about moderated number or something like this?
I can live with moderate number.
Elaine?
Okay, yeah. Elaine, go ahead.
Thanks. I think part of the sentence that isn't being looked at that's very important is that Working Team 2 agreed that the initial focus should be on blah, blah, blah. We've already had this conversation. We've already debated it. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'd prefer that we work on substance of what those applicants should be rather than saying if it's a limited number or a moderate number. To Johnny, if there's an applicant type or sort that we have overlooked, I think we should add that rather than try to change the language so we might include everybody or anything. Maybe you can let us know if there's something that we've overlooked that we need to add rather than changing the language. Thanks.
Okay. Jenny, do you have an answer? Do you want to respond or should I go to Cheryl?
Ellen, I didn't understand very well what you said. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll try to be concise. So we discussed this already.
Yes.
We've gone through this document several times before we presented it in Brussels, and we agreed, the working team agreed after several discussions that we would only focus on a limited number of applicants. So if there is a type of applicant that we've overlooked that you want included, I think we should include that type of applicant rather than say we're open to any sort of applicant.
Okay, I propose to add some, yes, in the next paragraph. I propose to add some kinds of applicants, yes.
Okay. Can I have a go at changing some of the language into my minimalist view again? I sort of jarred when I read this only because it seemed to be putting a different frame of language that I just wasn't overly comfortable with. We weren't talking, we talked in a paragraph before about Work Team 1 and Work Team 2, identifying sources, et cetera, et cetera. And I just wanted you to hear how I thought this paragraph under who should receive support might read better. But what I've also done since I put up my hand listening to what Elaine and Alan have said, I've tweaked what I was going to say slightly. So with all due plagiarism, copyright to Alan on this. Key to making a support program work is the choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, it is agreed that the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited set of potential applicants which would be non-controversial to support. Full stop. Then it goes on, based on these criteria, and a review of the comments, the review working group recommends the following.
Poetry. I think it's wonderful.
Sold.
Wonderful, but could you repeat, please?
I certainly can. Key to making a support program work is the choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, it is agreed that the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited, identifiable set of potential applicants which would be non-controversial to support. Full stop. Based on these criteria and the review of the comments, the working group recommends, please make sure we respell recommends, the following.
To Jenny, are you okay with this?
Yes, but only to change relatively limited by what we said, moderated. Moderated number of something like this. Is it possible?
No, relatively limited doesn't exclude moderation, but it says there is not an open end, or moderation can be middle. And I think if we looked at, you know, a moderate group could be 50% of the applicants. Well, that's not going to get anywhere. That won't get support.
Do you think that 50% of the applicants will be supported?
I have absolutely no idea. What I do know is that terms relatively limited are going to give people a great deal more comfort than moderate.
Yeah. I think the point to Jenny is that we have to set out in this document that we are not trying to put something together that would apply to half of the applicants.
Absolutely, okay. And that is why I wouldn't go to...
Let's be honest, if we get one person approved under this, we're setting an important precedent.
Yes, we are.
Evan, do you want me to read back what I've got?
Oh, gladly.
Okay. Key to making a support program work is the choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, it is agreed that the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited identifiable set of potential applicants that would be not controversial of support. Based on this criteria and review of the comments, the working group recommends the following.
Okay.
All right. Are we okay? We've got... less than 20 minutes left in a 90-minute call, and we've still got a lot to do. Okay. So, we are now on point A at the top of page 10, which reads, currently, at least in the initial pilot phase, target support to ethnic and linguistic communities, e.g. the Hausa community, Quechua speakers, Tamil speakers. These potential applicants have the benefit of being relatively well-defined as groups and pass the test of being generally non-controversial. Those communities already have a history of recognition at ICANN, and facilitating community on the web is one of ICANN's core values. Comments?
Okay.
Okay, so Jenny, go ahead.
Yes.
I see you.
Moment, okay. Rather than put it like this, Richard has drawn my attention on the fact that there is a big ambiguity on because we don't know if those criteria are one of these this criteria is enough to get support, or we have to have a set of criteria to be selected. And I think rather than say like this that we give priority to this group or the other group, we start by saying that the main criteria for the support is the need. This is the first criteria. And we say that the categories that the following categories may have support. The following criteria cannot have support if they are not in need of it. And we put the categories.
Okay. Now, at this point, I have to go back to the people on Work Team B and ask, because I would tend to agree a little bit with what Elaine is saying, is that I don't know if we want to re-debate the whole issue again in essentially saying is the emphasis here in this particular paragraph on purpose of the group, or is the emphasis here on need? Because right now we're right now this thing is basically trying to limit it by function group, or at least by stated constituency. Okay. Nohan, does anyone?
Yes. Would you like me to respond?
Please do.
Okay. As I said in my comments that I sent out last night, there are a series of different things that we're going to use as filters, right, so that we can get to this smaller group, a manageable group of potential support recipients. There was no intent to start with one as opposed to another. Everyone agrees that need is an important criteria, and there are other important criteria, and this targeting was just the first thing that we put down. If the group feels strongly that we want that we want to elevate the need category to the front, I have no objection to it. I don't think it changes the document particularly, and I don't know if it offers us a lot of value to wordsmith it at this level, but if you feel strongly, I have no objection.
Evan, can I make a short comment?
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I think the need one is point D. It's a page later, or part of a page later. I think there is some value in elevating that to the first point. It doesn't change it a lot, but it does catch people's attention first and doesn't make it sound like an afterthought. And then we don't have to worry about having said need first. We don't have to worry about implying that all Tamil speakers will be worthy of support, for instance.
Okay.
Especially if you live in Canada this month.
So you're basically just changing things rather than rewording them.
I think that addresses the issue of puts need right up front.
It's just a reordering.
And gets it out of the way.
Okay, Alex, Alex, go ahead.
Right. I think just to support what Andrew was saying, what we had thought of when we listed some of these linguistic and ethnic was we felt that if we brought in people that speak in non-Latin, we probably would have had more buy-in from the ICANN board. In other words, we would be seen to be actually supporting the IDN. So that was probably one of the other reasons why we brought it. It's not a question of priority or preference. So maybe we remove initial phase, but the idea was getting and English speakers was trying to bring their content online, really. Thank you.
Okay. Now, if I read Alan's suggestion properly, he's suggesting rearranging things so that D becomes the first point.
That is what I suggested.
Okay. Is there a necessity?
Alan, which number? I'm sorry.
D is in dog.
Right now we have A, B, C, and D on there, with D meaning being the last one that is in point form and talks about financial needs.
No, there is also an E.
Okay.
No,
I'm looking at the
version that I've got has only D that I'm looking at online, and it says it has a series of groups that are not recommended for support. Are we looking at different versions of this?
Maybe. I'm looking at Tijani's modification.
Yes, yes.
Maybe he added that one. Hold on.
I'm working off the one on Adobe Connect.
Yeah, okay. I hadn't been.
And there is no point E on that one.
No, okay. Tijani added the point that I was saying promotes the first.
Yeah.
The wording was the main criteria for eligibility should be need. An applicant from one of the categories mentioned wouldn't be selected for support if he/she is not in such a support category. If it's the first one, it needs to be modified slightly. But I'm suggesting that one be added. I'm sorry, not moved. I didn't realize it was in addition.
Okay. Read that point E again. You're proposing this go front and center, and you have a suggested modification. For Carlos, could you read it out as you suggested happen?
I hadn't suggested, but I can try on the fly. The main criteria for eligibility should be need, period. An applicant from one of the categories below...
Yes, exactly.
Would not be selected for support unless the need criteria were present.
May I give a proposition?
I just... Is everyone okay with that? I don't see any check marks or anything, but the idea of this is the point at the very top of this, essentially making it clear that, you know, there might be other criteria, but need is primary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's fair.
It seems right. Let's move on.
Danny, are you okay with this? You have your hand up.
I would like to tell you what I propose as language. It is not A or B or C. As a header, if you want. The main criteria for eligibility should be the need. An applicant from one of the following categories wouldn't be selected for support if he or she is not in need of such support. And then the categories are A, B, C, D. I have four categories. I can read it if you want.
Well, before you go to that, to Jenny, I think Alan's very, very concise opening statement, I think, actually expresses that particular point you wanted to make, but does it in far fewer words.
Alan, do you want me to read what I've got?
His one, he did use one word better than I did. He said following, not below, but yes.
Okay, please, Carla, read it back.
Okay, so on this session that says who should receive support, I added the number one, and then the first paragraph reads, key to making a support program work is the choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, it is agreed that the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited identifiable set of potential applicants that would not be controversial of support. Based on this criteria and per review of the comments, the working group recommends the following. Then, there is no change to A, no change to B, no change to C, except a typo recommends. And then on D, it reads as follows. The main criteria for eligibility should be need. An applicant from one of the categories below would not be selected for support unless the need criteria is met. A series of groups are not recommended for support based on working group work specifically. And then we have all of the bullet points without change.
Okay. What you had as D, the main criteria, there should be one word changed. Instead of below, it's the following. Use the word following, and I'm not quite sure if it's in the right place. But that
so
should now...
From one of the categories, one of the following categories?
Following categories,
yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, and that should be A.
Yeah, move that to the top.
Alan, that should not be A. That should the header of the whole paragraph.
Fine, it can be a header.
And A, B, C. Excuse me, Shirin. And A, B, C, etc. are categories. The categories that we said the following categories: A, B, C, D.
Jenny, we're agreeing with you.
Yeah, we're all agreeing with you. It needs to be an overriding sentence.
Okay. So.
Carla, E did not change. However. The part that is currently says a series of groups not recommended stays where it is.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
We don't want to lead with that.
Okay, Carla, could you read back what you have for D?
Okay.
For D?
No.
It's no longer D.
No, not D.
And we're proposing to bring front.
So my understanding is that you wanted to have as A. The main criteria for eligibility should be need. An applicant from one of the following categories would not be selected for support unless need criteria is met.
Okay, stop there. That is not a bullet point. That's actually part of the text.
Voilà.
That's part of D.
No. What Carla just read now comes before the bullet points.
Yes.
Before the ABC.
Before the list, correct.
Right. Evan, what I think I'm hearing for clarity's sake would be to leave D, what we have now as D as it is, and just take the overriding one sentence about the primary focus should be on need, or the primary determinant should be on need, and just elevate that piece, but leave D as it is.
Yes. The new sentence that Carlos read seven times is a new paragraph that precedes A.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so the first paragraph now reads as follows. Key to making a support program work in the choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, it is agreed that the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited identifiable set of applicants, of potential applicants, that would not be controversial of support. And then there's the new sentence. The main criteria for eligibility should need an applicant from one of the following categories would not be selected for support unless the need criteria is met. Based on this criteria and per review of the comments, the working group recommends the following, and then we have ACD as they were before.
Give that woman a star. You have it perfect.
Well done.
I agree. Does anybody not agree? Because we move on.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
I have Jenny and then Elaine with their hands up.
Yes, I think that the place of the main criteria for LGBT is the need, is not this one. It is after, based on these criteria and per the review, etc., the working group recommends to semicolon, the main criteria for LGBT should be the need, an applicant, etc. The following criteria are A, B, C, D. You see?
That will work too.
Yeah.
So you're saying put the new sentence after, just immediately before A, but remove the words the following.
No, you put the following is for A, B, C, is for the categories.
Okay.
Where are you putting?
Hey, guys, we have an awful lot to do. We have less than 5 minutes left in this call.
And Jenny, I have another call at 9:30.
I know. Kajani, is what you're suggesting, I mean, for me, it looks like just a refinement of the wording that doesn't change the meaning of what we are doing.
I think it's not the same if you put it, because we are talking about the criteria, and the criteria must be immediately after this paragraph.
And they are.
Yes. No, they weren't.
He is suggesting that the sentence, based on these criteria, stay where it is in that paragraph, in the first paragraph, remove the words "the following."
Why?
But keep the semicolon. Put a sentence, an unnumbered sentence, saying the main criteria, and then follow the detailed criteria.
You have that.
I'm happy with that.
Carla, you have that.
Let's see if I have that.
She inverted two sentences from that.
So the first paragraph would be, key to making a support program work is the choice of initial support recipients. With this in mind, it's agreed that the initial focus should be on finding a relatively limited identifiable set of potential applicants that would not be controversial of support. And then I have the main criteria for eligibility should be need. An applicant would not be selected for support unless the need criteria is met. Based on this criteria, and then the following is the same.
Can I suggest that we could stop this right after the main criteria for support is need, period. The rest of it can go. It's just a repeat. It'll have more impact.
I think it makes it clearer.
I'm sorry that I think we should move on
either way.
Yes.
Okay. I heard Andrew. I didn't hear Tijani's answer.
Okay. I am so sorry that I cannot display what I want to I propose, because I think for me it's very clear that it must be in this order. After controversial to support, based on this criteria, the working group recommended the following. Semicolon. The main criteria. Yes.
Hey,
yes.
You just suggested very clearly at the outset, okay, that the main criteria is need. I don't know how we can express that more clearly.
No, no, it's clear. No, the problem is where to put this sentence. That's all.
Yeah,
that's
so
all.
Maybe the change is maybe based on these criteria, T-H-E-S-E is T-H-I-S.
Okay. All right, we are at the end of 90 minutes, and we have not finished this. Do you want to keep going, or do we take this to email?
I will send on email what is my point of view.
Okay. Does the rest of the group think that we can wrap this up in another 5 minutes, or if not, we should take this to email? What, Alan's got a hard stop. What about everybody else?
Well, how far through the document are you planning on getting before the next meeting? Where were you trying to get to?
I'm just trying to get to this paragraph before the bullet point.
We're done, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, we all agree in principle.
Yes.
That we're saying the same thing with one sentence higher or lower than another sentence. If Tijani puts that to an email, then
yes,
we can all go, yes, we understand. And
yes,
then he knows we understand, and it'll be okay. But at the moment, it is a piece of minor pedantry.
Okay. So if that is the case, then we will take a general acceptance of that particular wording to email. Then when we continue on Tuesday, we will pick up where we left off, which is here at the beginning of point A.
Are we still making changes to A to D?
It's not my intention, but we haven't gone through them. I'm okay with them. Hopefully that'll be a very quick thing. But as I found here, I can't count on things being quick.
Well, Tijani mentioned he was going to add a couple of extra things. If that could be all done, if the proposals for changes can be done on email through to the beginning of Section 2, what kinds of support might be offered. So we would be looking at email for the positioning of the necessary sentence and the criteria A to D.
Yes.
Right. Good.
So we are going to deal with this first thing on Tuesday. If you have any comments, not just to Jenny, on what we're going to do with that, send those in emails, preferably before the weekend so people can digest on them. And we will see you all back on Tuesday to pick up from here.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.